Wow, there are a lot of classes going on today. I guess I should say thank you for staying here. I thought I was going to lose everybody there for a minute. So, my name is Joe Reese. Some of you I don't think I've met before. My wife and I live in a little place called Golden Lake, Ontario. And it's been our privilege in years past to come out here and be part of the work for a few weeks, or in some cases a few months. But since COVID hit, we haven't been here. So it's been 4 years since we were actually staying at Parkdale. And in March of 2020, everything was being shut down. Remember those days? Lock up, they called it. So I said to my wife, I said, now, would you like to be locked up at Parkdale or locked up at home? And so we got on a quick flight and went back to Ontario. But that was the last time that we were out here in this capacity. It's good to be back. Good to see so many of you that we know, and some new folks as well. You know, there are, I think we have a little cliche, we call them windows of opportunity. Sometimes the window of opportunity is the last one. There won't be another one. It's like there's a decision I have to make, or there's something that I've got to do, and I've got to do that now. If I don't do it now, it's never going to be repeated again. This is my last opportunity to do something. My wife and I visited in a hospital a man who had had brain cancer and was in a coma. He could not speak. The family asked if I would go in and pray with this man. This man was not a Christian, okay? And the family said, he can't speak, he can't reason, he's in a coma, but if you want to go in, you can go in. And so we went in to the room, a total stranger to me. I did not know the man. And his name was Murray. And he was laying there, head all bandaged, apparently in a coma, and his hand was on the bed, and I just put my hand on his hand like that, and I called his name. I said, Murray. He opened his eyes. I said, Murray, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And he spoke. He said, no, but I would like to, he said. And so I explained to him what we've been singing about, how that Christ loved you and died for you and rose again for you and wants to forgive you of your sins and take you to heaven when you die. And I explained that to Murray, and I said, Murray, do you want to have the Lord Jesus to be your Savior? And he said, yes, I do. And then Murray closed his eyes, and he never woke up again. You're talking about last minute conversions. Yeah. Now, sometimes it's not quite that it's not quite that critical, but in a sense it is. What if you never made it home today? What if you got in your car, you're walking along the street, and you just never made it home. A heart attack, an accident, something happened. Are you ready to go? Now, I'm going to be reading a story from the Bible this morning, and we're going to be talking about an opportunity that would never happen again. The Lord Jesus, we get a lot of stories about the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, but in this particular story we're going to read this morning, the Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, they're going to reject him, they're going to arrest him, and they're going to crucify him. So this is the last time on earth that the Lord Jesus is going through a little town called Jericho. Now, if you take your Bibles, you can find the New Testament. Go to Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And we're going to read a story of a man who had a last chance experience and what happened to him. Now, while you're turning there, Mark chapter 10, okay, while you're turning there, I want to give you another quick story about a man you may recognize. Even if you know very little about the Bible, you might recognize this man's name. His name is Judas. He was the man that sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He is the man that rejected the love and mercy of God. He is the man who could have had a different life, but he didn't choose to have that different life. The reason I say that is because when Judas, who betrayed the Lord, came in the garden where Jesus was, and Judas told the soldiers that was with him, "The one that I kiss, he will be the one, take him." Okay? So Judas came, the band of soldiers, he approaches the Lord Jesus. And listen to what Jesus says to him. Listen to this. "Judas, friend, why have you come?" That's the last words Jesus said to Judas. "Why have you come?" As though to say, "Judas, don't go through with it. Change plans. Fall on your knees. Worship me. Don't betray me. Don't do it." And you know what Judas did? He kissed the Lord. Some translations may give you the implication that he was so nervous about it and he didn't want a mistake to be made that he smothered him in kisses. That was the last chance for Judas. He made the wrong decision. Now let's read beginning in verse 46 in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" Verse 48. "Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni," or teacher, "that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Last chance. Last opportunity. Jesus is not going to Jericho again. Did blind Bartimaeus know that? I don't know if he knew that or not. But we know that. We know that if you were blind like Bartimaeus, all of your life you live in darkness. All of your life you have no way to make a living. You're a beggar. You're dependent on others. And you have heard of something going on. A man called Jesus of Nazareth, is passing by. There's a commotion, and you hear that. And blind Bartimaeus, whether he realized it was his last opportunity or not to ever meet Jesus, he made use of that. He did something that he knew was at least significant in his life, and he reached out. Now, there's several ways we can unpack this. Let's think about it this way for a minute. We could say, well, who are the people mentioned in the passage? And if you know me by now, you know I like to look at details in the scripture, right? And so look again at verse 46, the second word, "now they." That's people. That's somebody. Who are the they? Well, in our context, that is before, during, and after, we realize that disciples are mentioned. Jesus himself, of course, is mentioned in the text. You'll notice also a great multitude in verse 46. That's people. You'll also know Bartimaeus, the blind man, is mentioned. That's people. And then you will notice in reference to the son of David. Now, that would be King David in the Old Testament, because the prophecy in the Old Testament was that the Messiah, the King of Israel, is coming through the line of King David. So the blind man, knowing something of this, hearing a rumor about this, calls him the son of David. And then I want to call your attention to another people category, I could call it that, in verse 48. Notice, "then many warned him." Who are the many? Who are the many? You know, they have an interesting part in this story, the many. And I'll tell you, it's a sad part of the story, because it says the many, those people who are trying to influence now the blind man, warned him to be quiet. I don't know if you got any of the many in your family or not, or any of the many in your acquaintances or not. You see, their role in the story was to discourage the blind man from ever meeting Jesus. He's calling out. He has a need, right? He's blind. He has something that he needs to talk to Jesus about. Jesus is passing by, and he says, "Son of David, Son of David." And the many said, "Be quiet," hindering him in his endeavor to meet Jesus. I think I maybe had some of the many in my life before I came to the Lord. Maybe you've got some of the many in your life. These are people, if they knew you were here today, they'd say, "Don't bother going to that church. What are you going to that church for?" Don't bother reading your Bible. Don't bother crying out to the Lord. That's in the context. The many are hindering this person, blind Bartimaeus, from coming to the Lord. So that's the people. Now, we can look at it. What are the places that are mentioned in this text? Well, right away, we know that Jericho is mentioned. They came to Jericho. If you know anything at all about your Bible, you know in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel were finally delivered from slavery in Egypt. They were going to the Promised Land. They got to the Jordan River, and as they crossed over the Jordan to go into the Promised Land, the first place they encountered was a town called, you got it, Jericho. Remember the story? They marched around the town and marched around and marched around for 7 days in a row. Nothing, no sound, no anything. But the instructions were, on the seventh day, you march around the city, and then seven times you blow the trumpets. And what happened? The walls fell down. God had given them victory in Jericho, the accursed city, the accursed place. Well, Jericho's been rebuilt several times by the time we read this story, but Jericho has still got a reputation for things. But they're going through Jericho. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. That's one of the places that are mentioned. Another place that is mentioned by way of reference is Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, about 90 miles north of Jerusalem, you might remember, that's the town that Jesus grew up in. Nazareth, military town. They said about Jesus coming from Nazareth, you know what they said? No good thing can come out of Nazareth. It's a military town, but that's mentioned here as well. And then I want to call your attention to a little more detail. You read your Bible like this, it'll come alive to you. Watch in verse 52. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. On the road. Oh, that's going to become extremely significant in the chapter ahead. Because that road led to Jerusalem, where Jesus would mount the colt of a donkey and ride that donkey's colt into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. A road in the text. Okay, now what's the problem? We got people, we got places. What's the problem? Bartimaeus is blind. That's the problem. What's the possibility of that problem being fixed, answered, of him being healed? What's the possibility of that? Well, Jesus said to him in verse 51, "So what do you want me to do for you?" That's the possibility. We got a big problem. Been in darkness all my life. I'm begging for a living. I don't know what to do. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. But notice these words in verse 47. When he heard. Isn't that interesting? Somebody's telling him a story. Somebody's repeating something that is happening. Listen to the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Isn't that interesting? We're very visual today. We want visual everything. Nothing wrong with visual. But faith comes by hearing. Now, what does that mean? That means that no person ever woke up out of a mud hut on the backside of nowhere, looked up in the sky and says, "I think I want Jesus as my Savior." They don't know to do that. They know nothing. Zero. That's the reason Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go tell them how to get saved. Because faith comes by hearing. Dear friend, if you're a Christian here this morning, if you've trusted Christ this morning, if you've been, as we sang, born again, if Jesus is in your heart and you're walking with the Lord, I can tell you how that happened. Somebody told you. Are you read it in the Bible? Faith comes by hearing. And so somebody has told blind Bartimaeus about Jesus. So the story, the movement of the story is not hard to get. Watch this. When he heard that Jesus was passing by, that's in verse 47, he began to cry out. Maybe he heard, you know, some blind people have been healed, and a man called Jesus of Nazareth, he did it, and some say he's the Messiah, and oh, by the way, he's passing by. Well, that'd be music to your ears. Matter of fact, look at verse 49 at the end. They came to blind Bartimaeus, they called him, they said to him, be of good cheer. You know what that means? It means, boy, this is your day. It's amazing what has happened today. You need to get excited, excuse me, about this. This is your day. So Jesus is passing by, and blind Bartimaeus calls him son of David. Now, how would he know that? Well, the talk is out. You see, if this man called Jesus is the son of David, that means he is the Messiah, or at least he's got to come from the son of David to be the Messiah. And one of his credentials is, among many things, he heals the blind. So we've got blind Bartimaeus, and he's saying, this is my opportunity, excuse me. This is my opportunity. Jesus is passing by, and he calls him the son of David, and he asked to have mercy on him. This is in verse 48, where the many said, be quiet, be quiet. As though to say, he doesn't have time for you. He's not going to stop for you. This is a busy man. This is an important man. Who do you think you are? You think you're going to stop the whole thing just for you? Oh, dear friend, let me tell you, that's the kind of Jesus we got. He stopped the whole thing for you. He brings heaven and earth to a screeching halt. He changes history. He changes things to make it work. Divine appointments. That's what kind of Jesus we have. They said, be quiet, and he got louder. He doesn't want this moment to pass. He doesn't want to waste this opportunity. Notice something else here in verse 49. Jesus stood still, and Jesus didn't call him. I find that really interesting. It's like Jesus maybe stood still, and then Jesus said, oh, Bartimaeus, come here. He didn't. Notice your Bible. And 49. So Jesus stood still, and Jesus commanded him to be called. Somebody call that man, please. He said, what's that? That's people being involved in the program of God. That's what that is. That's just like when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said to the servants, loose him and let him go. He was bound up in grave clothes. Let the servants do that. So you and I, being by the grace of God, servants of God, we can understand this. He says, commanding to be called, then they call the blind man. There's another group. You see that group there? Who are they? They call the blind man. They're a privileged group. They're not like the other group in verse 48, the many that said, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Shut up, sit down, be quiet, go away. No, not those people. This is a privileged group. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, cheer up, be of good cheer. This is your day. This is your moment. Rise, and he's calling you. You know what I could say? With all truth, with respect to the Bible, you know what I could say to you this morning? Jesus is calling you. He's calling you. Do you hear? He's calling you. You see, I don't know how many of you are like the blind man. I don't know how many of you would say, man, I've been in darkness all my life. Not physical, necessarily. Spiritual darkness. Born in sin, lived in sin. Maybe some of you come from desperate backgrounds where there's no light of the gospel, where there's no goodness, no love, no forgiveness. You don't even know what that, maybe, I don't know, but maybe some of you have lived like that. No light in your darkness. The light is here. Jesus is light. He is passing by. You don't want to miss this opportunity today. They said, rise, he calls for you. I know that the Bible says there are you listening? No nobodies with Jesus. No nobodies. It doesn't matter with my reference to a mud hut on the backside of nowhere. It don't matter if that's where you were born. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter how much education you have, what language you speak. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He calls for you. Now notice something else, but very significant. Look at verse 50 in the text. And throwing aside his garment. He said, well, what's that? Well, I'll tell you what that is. It's most likely the only thing that man owned. That's what that is. Remember, he's blind. Remember, he can't work. Remember, he's on the road and he's begging. It's not like you got all the resources you need. And there's a chance, just a chance, that his garment is the only thing that he owns. I'm imagining in my mind now something like this. He just ripped that thing off. He's got a window of opportunity. He is not going to let anything come between him and Jesus. He doesn't want to get tripped up. He doesn't want to stumble. He doesn't want anything getting between him and Jesus. He takes that garment off. Now, some commentaries, I never read anybody with that, so I don't know if I'm right, okay, about that. But some commentaries think that there is culture involved here. And the culture goes something like this. Whenever you move from one condition to another, you jettison everything that you had in your old condition to gain your new condition. They suggested that beggars often wore a similar coat. That is, blind beggars. So you're going along the road, and maybe the style of the garment, maybe the color of the garment, I'm not sure, but you'd go, oh yeah, there's one, oh yeah, there's one. If that is true, some suggest, it'd be like a blind man saying, I don't need this cane anymore. I'm going to Jesus. He took that garment off, believing that he would not need that garment again. Or, as I suggested, maybe the only thing he possessed. If either one of those are true, think about this. What's between you and Jesus? He said, well, no, you know, I'm not necessarily talking about a garment. How about a business? How about property? How about possessions? How about family? Is there something between you and meeting Jesus, like blind Bartimaeus, verse 50, throwing aside his garment? He rose, and he's going to Jesus. You see, there is a cost. You got to admit you're wrong. You got to admit you're sick. You got to admit you're a sinner. You've got to admit you're in trouble. You've got to admit I can't do anything about it. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I am coming to the Savior. Not my education, not my IQ, not my possessions, whatever it is that I may have been holding on to, thinking of some value in that. This is a window of opportunity, and I'm laying that aside. He rose and came to Jesus. Then notice verse 51, the question, what do you want me to do for you? Let me ask you, what would you like for Jesus to do for you today? You ever think of that? What would you ask him? What can I do for you? What's your greatest need? Do you understand even your greatest need? Now let's clear the board here for a minute. We're not talking about a prosperity gospel where if you accept Jesus and you get a check in the mail the next day, or your rich uncle that you didn't even know you had left you a multi-million dollar home in Vancouver somewhere. We're not talking about that. That's not a need. That's at best, a desire, maybe a lust, okay? We're talking about a need. What's your deepest need? What is it that nobody or nothing can do for you except Christ? What would you like for him to do? What would you like for me to do? It was a simple answer. He said, could I have my sight, please? Could you give me my sight? For our application today, you've heard of what Jesus has done in other people's lives. The people here got saved. You've heard that. They got saved. Their lives are changed. They talk about love. They talk about forgiveness. You see a change in their lives. You know what the Lord has done for somebody else. What would you like for him to do? Is there anything you got to cast away? Is there anything that you need to deal with? What would you say? Lord, I don't even know how to say it. I'd like to have a new life. I'd like to be saved. I'm the sinner, you're the Savior. However that works, could you give me new life? Well, there's one more thing interesting here. I hope I'm not boring you this morning. Look, there's one more thing interesting here. He said, could I have my sight? And Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now watch. His faith didn't heal him. Don't get this mixed up. It wasn't, oh, I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. I really believe I can see. I believe it, I can see. My faith worked. No. That is not what that meant. How was his faith exercised? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. You're the only one that can have mercy on me. His faith is in Christ, not in his healing of his eyes. Your faith in Christ is what gives you forgiveness, because nobody else can do that. And so we read in the last verse, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Well, Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. He said, I don't want to go my way anymore. I want to go your way, Lord. I've been going my way for all my life. I want to go your way. And so we read, he followed Jesus on the road. Do you know where that road was leading the Lord Jesus? To the place called Calvary. And every one of you here today that know the Lord, you know there's a cost in following him. It's worth it, but there's a cost. He'll never leave you or forsake you, but there is a cost of following him. For those of you who have not trusted the Lord, you haven't seen yourself as the sinner yet and reached out to the Lord Jesus yet, let me tell you the truth. It's the best decision you can ever make. It lasts for all of eternity, but it will cost. Be prepared for the cost. You can't do anything to earn your salvation. It is a gift. Trust Christ today. And there is a cost. This blind man now is on the road that leads to trouble. But Jesus is with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these thoughts. May your Holy Spirit work in all of our hearts for the glory of God, for the salvation of sinners, and for the encouragement of those that follow the Lord Jesus now. In his name, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming. If you have any questions or comments, see somebody. I'm here. Others are here. Harold's here. Eric is here. Lung is here. And don't forget, next week, come and bring a friend. We're going to have supper, too, or lunch, I guess. Any other announcements? You are dismissed. May the Lord be with you.